Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show gets going right now, everybody. Thank you for being with us. We had Joe Biden just address the nation on the devastation in Florida and the oncoming hurricane, now the continuation of Hurricane Ian into South Carolina and that part of the coastal southeastern U.S. So our thoughts are going out to everybody who's been already affected in Florida and also those who are going to be bearing the brunt here of a less extreme but still dangerous Hurricane Ian in the southeastern United States. One thing that I'd mentioned at the top of the program today, the first hour, if you missed it, please go check out the Clay and Buck podcast, is that Russia has now had a sham referendum, effectively, in a number of parts of eastern and southern Ukraine. And so now they are officially Russian Federation territory, according to Russia. I had thought all along, in fact, in the beginning of this conflict, at the start of this year, I'd said that Russia is just going to carve up and take parts of Ukraine into its territory. The question really was how much. I bring this up because our team was monitoring this. And Biden spoke about what's going on right now in Ukraine, and here's what he said.
He's his neighbor's territory and get away with it. It's as simple as that. And they're going to stay the course. They're going to continue to provide military equipment so the Ukraine can defend itself and its territory and its freedom, including additional resources that the Congress is going to give me today of $13 billion more dollars to help the Ukrainians defend themselves and fight back. And we're fully prepared to defend it. I'm going to say this again. America is fully prepared with our NATO allies to defend every single inch of NATO territory. Every single inch. So, Mr. Putin, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Every inch.
So, Clay, we're sending now billions more to Ukraine. I have never heard the president talk about what the negotiated settlement. It seems like this administration has decided this war ends when Russia loses. And they keep saying this without ever even explaining, what does that mean? Does it mean that Russia is losing all of the territory, even territory that it had taken from Ukraine, stretching back 7, now going on 8 years ago? Does it mean the fall of Putin as the leader of Russia? There seems to be a mission creep underway here for us and for our allies in Europe that's very concerning when Putin is giving, I mean, I could look up some of the quotes. The speech that he just gave is scary. I mean, yes. It's something. I mean, he says, here's the headline of the BBC, Putin raises the stakes in speech full of anti-Western bile. And he's talking about, obviously, the incorporation or the seizure of this territory. He said, the United States, Biden said, will never, never recognize Russia's claim on Ukraine sovereign territory. So what does that mean? Because taking this territory back from Russia is going to take a long time and a lot more than billions of dollars.
Years, theoretically. Now, maybe there's just going to end up being some sort of tacit boundaries drawn, and both sides are going to stay armed, and there'll just be some sort of agreement on where that line is. When that would actually happen and how it would happen, I don't know. Also, we talked about this, and it would have been a major, major story all week, but for Hurricane Ian coming in. But there's still this great whodunit associated with the Nord Stream pipelines, and Joe Biden also discussed that just now and said it was a deliberate act of sabotage, which seems clear. Listen to this.
It was a deliberate act of sabotage, and now the Russians are pumping out disinformation and lies. We work with our allies to get to the bottom exactly what happened, and as at my direction, I've already begun to help our allies enhance the protection of this critical infrastructure. And at the appropriate moment when things calm down, we're going to be sending divers down to find out exactly what happened.
So
we don't know that yet exactly, but we're not, just don't listen to what Putin is saying. What he's saying we know is not true.
The biggest challenge, I would say, in general, Buck, is whatever your politics are, even listening to Joe Biden make all of those comments, he sounds like a weak and enfeebled person. And we know this week he tried to say hi to a dead congresswoman, and he couldn't find his way off the stage multiple times. We are dealing right now with one of the most dangerous moments in modern global history, I think it's fair to say, certainly in the 21st century, in terms of the geopolitical significance of what's going on and the danger. World War III is truly looming out there. Do you feel at all like Biden is up to making intelligent, reasoned decisions as it pertains to this situation at all? Because I don't.
No, and when you hear him saying outright that we will never accept Russia's seizure of any territory. Russia had a referendum in Crimea, 7 years ago now?
Yeah.
And having to go back. I mean, it's been a while. They already took. So is Crimea a part of this? We'll never accept the seizure of Ukrainian territory. Is the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine part of this as well? Putin said in response to a couple things. One, on the pipeline blast issue, he has accused Western elites. He gave a speech announcing these referendum areas that are effectively the border regions of eastern and southern Ukraine that now connects. There's a kind of a half moon, if you will, of Russian seized territory that connects Crimea to the Russian Federation now by land bridge, because it's all contiguous. So Putin warned that Western elites are adopting outright Satanism by blaming Russia for the Nord Stream gas pipeline blast. Everyone's saying blast, by the way, just to be clear. There's no one who's saying
this was an accident.
Stuff happens, man. Pipeline's complicated. Everyone's saying sabotage. And Putin also said that the United States had set a precedent in nuclear usage by dropping atomic bombs on Japan. Now, okay, we can keep saying this is saber rattling. We can keep saying, people also say Putin, crazy is not the right word to use. Malevolent, insidious, but he is clearly a crafty individual. This is not like North Korea where he came into power because of who his father was. It's effectively, as we know, a monarchy. This is a guy who made his way to the pinnacle of power in Russia. So bad guy, yes. Crazy guy. Remember the movie Speed? Remember that?
Back in the day. Keanu Reeves
movie. That's one of my favorite. I mean, The Matrix is the best Keanu Reeves movie. You're John Wick fans. I respect you. I like John Wick 2. The Matrix 1 is better than John Wick 1. You can fight with me all day on this. I'm right. But Speed was a fun flick. I bring it up.
Sandra Bullock made her a star.
That was one of her best moments. Because there's a scene with Dennis Hopper. Remember Dennis Hopper's?
Yeah.
And they say that he's seated in the crazy but not stupid section. Putin is not even seated in the... Oh, I'm sorry. Putin is in the not crazy and not stupid section. He's a guy who maybe seems a little bit off to people, but he's actually very cunning, very strategic in how he approaches things. And so that's why, I mean, the usage of Putin as this figure where we can just ignore everything he says, okay, but how long do we think a war is going to be able to grind on where we give billions of dollars to his enemy here?
And look, we're not far away from, in theory, the winter season arriving there, in which case everybody's just entrenched and things can't move very much, right? We're probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks away in Europe. Remember, they didn't invade until the end of February because they had to wait out the snow season to be able to even move. So I think the point is well taken. How many years, potentially, of trench warfare could we be dealing with here? And at what point does Putin get frustrated enough to basically use an accelerant here and decide that he's going to do something that takes us to the next level and require us to figure out and determine what our response is going to be? Because what do you think? What would we do? Let's play this out. If he used a localized nuke, right? Not a
tactical nuclear weapon, a low yield nuclear weapon. Yeah.
What do we do? Like, what good options do we have?
We have protocol. I mean, I'm sure you could roll out thousands of pages of highly classified response from the Pentagon, you know, whatever levels of the basement there they're keeping these things in. It's actually going to be kept, obviously, electronically, not in hard copy. Point or actually, well, both.
Yeah, what do you think what we would do, though? I mean, like...
But my point is that we have doctrine, but doctrine is just like a suggestion box.
Yes.
Right? Doctrine is, we think we would do this, but in the moment, it's not really clear. And look at the leadership we have.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I think we have people who, and I know they were always trashing Trump, you know, and saying, oh, he's not smart, he's not a reader, he watches too much TV, whatever. Trump, at a gut level, had brilliant political instincts. You know, his political instincts about people were very sound, particularly about a lot of the adversaries that we have globally. Remember, he got in all that media hubbub because Trump said, look, Putin, what he's done. I mean, he said genius sarcastically.
Yes.
What he was talking about, the Russian invasion. And he sees Putin as what I was saying, somebody who is cagey. I mean, it might seem crazy to people, but it's actually somebody who has a totally different value system that he's approaching and a totally different strategic endpoint that he's trying to get to. I don't know what we would do. And I don't know what the Biden administration really thinks is going to happen here other than the continuation of the status quo, which is that we fund all of this stuff that's going up. But the pipeline getting blown up, I mean, this is an escalation one way or the other, whether it's Russia or anybody else. It's an escalation. And we don't ever talk about these things as escalations. We just, it's almost like we're sending checks to Ukraine, you know, not having any.
We're fighting a proxy war.
We're fighting a proxy war. And by the way, the ruble, I just checked this.
It's up like 28% so far this year.
Yep. Just shy of up against the dollar. It was up even over 40% at one point, but let's call it roughly 30% the ruble has gone up. Remember we were going to, at the beginning of this,
cripple
the
Russia.
People telling us now we're not going to abandon one inch of Ukrainian territory, by the way, way more concerned with Ukraine's borders than America's borders, as we know. Those same people were telling us in January and February, we're going to destroy the Russian economy and they'll bring them to their knees and they'll stop this war. The ruble's up 30%.
I just don't think we have very many good options. And I certainly don't think we have a very good leader to handle and dissect those options. And this is part and parcel, and I'm a huge optimist, you know this. I think 2023 is going to be one of the most challenging years that we have had on multi fronts, right? COVID was, and everything that it created was supremely challenging. But I'm talking about everything that Biden is touching is getting worse. And it feels to me like things are only going to get worse in 2023 as we come into a third full year of Biden. And I don't know where exactly that's going, but when you look at inflation, when you look at the stock market, when you look at the border, when you look at crime, and you consider what's going on in Ukraine right now, it feels like there are an awful lot of potential powder kegs that are about to go off.
Our government loves to spend money, you know that, enough so that we're contending with record-setting inflation already, and it's not going to win anytime soon. That reckless spending is driving up the costs on everything for your family. There are things you can do right now to lower your monthly expenses and mitigate the impact of inflation. One of them is switching your cell phone service to Pure Talk. You'll get cell phone service on America's most reliable 5G network. There's zero sacrifice in coverage. You keep your phone and your phone number. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're spending too much. Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. That's real money that can go to cover groceries or gas, and Pure Talk has never raised rates. Switch today, dial #250 and say Clay and Buck. You'll save 50% off your first month. Enjoy superior coverage and save money. Just dial #250, say Clay and Buck to switch to the cell service we rely on, Pure Talk.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling towards the midpoint of the final hour. We'll be joined by Ainsley Earhart, who's going to talk to us about her new book here in just a few minutes. She's going to be in studio with us. But we are continuing to break down, unfortunately, the situation surrounding Joe Biden, and we just ran through all of the challenges that face the country, in particular what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. But do we feel like Joe Biden actually has the cognitive ability to handle any of the challenges that are in front of him right now? Stephen Miller, friend of the show, has been on a bunch. Well, he broke down what he would thought of Joe Biden's health, and unfortunately, I think he's right.
Oh, we need to cut nine. Flip here. Cut nine. Yes, sir. Thank you. It's coming. We're going to get it. We were springing this on
President Biden is not cognitively present. He does not have the mental capacity to serve as the president of the United States of America. If he was in a nursing home, he would be in the assisted living section, not the area where people are in a retirement community who are living their own lives and who are making their own decisions. Maybe they just have a little bit of help when they need it. He would be in the round-the-clock care section for someone who forgets who they are, where they are, what they're doing, who's alive, who's dead, how to take care of themselves.
Clay, you know, they've estimated that he has been on vacation in Delaware. And I know they always say, oh, but he can work remote. Yeah, yeah, it's the president. There's a whole place where he's supposed to be conducting most of his business. 40% of his presidency so far was the number that I saw. I haven't tabulated it myself, but 40% in Delaware on vacation.
Well, and what's crazy, Buck, is the less he talks, the better his numbers are. Because when he had COVID for 2 weeks and he went on his long summer vacation and he kind of disappeared and he didn't do very much, people can't see how much he's deteriorated. And it's awful. But I just keep coming back to, we're only seeing him for at most 5% of the day. And if we can see him, even in these highly scripted, very much controlled events, unable to finish them, imagine what's going on behind closed doors. This is why I think he's not ultimately going to run, Buck. And when he doesn't run, I think you're going to see a deluge of stories about really scary, cognitively challenged events and activities that Biden has been engaging in the last few years. Forgetting where he is, forgetting who he's talking to people who've been dead for a long time, like he tried to do to the congresswoman just a couple days ago. This is what dementia looks like. And unfortunately, almost everyone listening to us right now has a friend or family member that they've seen go through this. And he is the elderly relative at Thanksgiving or Christmas that no longer can take care of himself. And that's never great, but those people have never been in charge of the country.
So to your question from just a few minutes ago about what happens if Vladimir Putin deploys a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine because he feels that he's losing too much, or who really makes a decision about what to do? I mean, this is part of why I can't even begin to know what the response would be. Do we really think that the people who would run the military response to this would look at Joe Biden as somebody who would be able to make that kind of a absolute highest of stakes calculation? I don't think so. But then who would it be?
Ron Klain, chief of staff. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that's probably who has to make a lot of these calls. And then imagine, we know how much the presidency ages everyone, even people who come in relatively young and relatively healthy. Imagine what he's going to be like. I mean, it's crazy. Even just hearing him talk on a day-to-day basis, you can see him deteriorating. And we still have over 2 years left, Buck.
Yeah.
It's terrifying to think about where we're going to end up. Look, MyPillow does the best job of introducing one great product after another at great prices. Newest introductions, all about your foot comfort. They've got slipper slide sandals for as low as $30. My wife wears these things and says they are fabulous. Kids, steal them from her because they're so comfortable. Run around in the backyard playing basketball, throwing football. They like to be able to put these slides and slippers on. And Mike Lindell will guarantee the most comfortable footwear you'll ever own. Slipper, slide, sandals, low as $29.98 with the promo code CLAYANDBUCK. MyPillow.com, click on radio listener specials. Use the promo code CLAYANDBUCK for this incredible limited time offer. 1 year warranty, 60-day money back guarantee. MyPillow.com, that is the promo code CLAYANDBUCK. Get hooked up today. That's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CLAYANDBUCK. You can also call 800-792-3269.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are here in studio with Ainsley Earhart of Fox News. You all know her from Fox and Friends in the mornings. She has a new book out, I'm So Glad You Were Born, Celebrating Who You Are. Ainsley, first time in with us. Thanks so much for joining
Buck,
us today.
Hey, Clay, thank y'all so much. I'm so proud of y'all. You're doing great.
Thank you. We have a lot of fun.
We do.
We are a little tired after last night, which I know you're never supposed to say on the air, but we were out quite a bit.
Were you talking about what happened last night?
I went home. We had a little bit of an engagement party here in New York, and Clay, I must admit, stayed out. Clay is married with three kids. Stayed out later than me. He outpaced me. I got sent home early by the fiance.
We had an awesome group of people, it spiraled into a Irish pub from the engagement party, and it was just a really fun time.
We took over an Irish pub,
apparently. We did basically take over an Irish pub.
Welcome to New York. So for people who are listening that don't know, the Irish pubs, they're everywhere.
Yes.
Downtown. When I started at Fox News, there was an Irish pub before it was torn down for a parking garage. There was this one Irish pub that everyone went to, and we had a back room, and that was where all the Fox people would hang out. But those are the early years of Fox. It was so fun. So
when did you get to Fox for the first time?
2007.
So did you come? You came to Fox from where?
San Antonio, Texas.
So was it a culture shock for you to suddenly be in New York City?
Well, I'm an East Coaster. I grew up in South Carolina. Yep. Worked there for 5 years after college. Then did San Antonio, and I always wanted New York. That was my dream.
What was San Antonio like as a city? I always hear people say great things about it. It was super safe, family friendly, quality of life very high.
Y'all, you would love it. There are big parties there. There's the Fiesta there.
Clay, I mean, you know, I got to carry me on his shoulder, but yeah.
Right. A year ago, you would have liked it. Now maybe. You're engaged. engaged. And
I'm
right.
slowing down a little bit.
I'm glad. I'm proud of you. No, it was so fun because they love their faith, which is important to me, and they love to party, which is important to me. So it's like
you went to South Carolina.
Exactly. I went to a Southern school.
Yeah, we're SEC double grads here. Yeah. So
I can't stay out as late as I used to, but I like to have fun, and the faith aspect was great. It was a wonderful place.
So we have this fabulous book here.
Thank
it is
you.
In studio with us. I'm so glad you were born, celebrating who you are. It's a kid's book.
Yes.
Clay has copies. His kids are a little old, maybe, for the
target. The 8-year-old, I think, could handle this a little bit. So,
okay.
Second grader. I've got 14, I've got 12, and I've got 8. They just had a couple of birthdays, so I got to make sure I got that right.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yeah. This message, though, even if you don't read the book to them, the message, I'm so glad you were born, is something my mom said to us on our birthdays, which, if you think about it, means a little bit more than just happy birthday. Even though happy birthday is great, it's something that you hear every birthday and everyone says it. I'm so glad you were born. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I have to stop and think. That's pretty cool that I was born on this day and I'm going to make a big difference and I can change the world. God can use me to change the world.
You have a young daughter.
I do. She's 6 and a half. She's
much did that motivate wanting to write a children's book?
You know what it's like as a parent. Yeah,
yeah.
You have 3 boys.
That's right.
So 6 and a half. My first two children's books were lyrical and like sappy sweet, what I was going through when I was pregnant. I was so glad I had her. And we had gone through a lot. I tried to get pregnant. I had a miscarriage. And then 3 months later, I conceived Hayden. So I knew why I'd gone through that bad place, because I wouldn't have Hayden if it weren't for that really tough time. And this book is just about, now I'm 6 and a half years past that, and how much I love being a mom. It's so fun.
Yeah.
I just want her to come home. You know, we all grew up in the generation where our parents were so tough. And I grew up in South Carolina. There were spankings, you know, and I mean, not too hard. I was a girl and I rarely...
You know what a switch is.
Yes, I do. And to pick it out, right?
Yeah.
Actually, my mom used a fly swatter and my dad... One time when we used a belt, usually it was his hand, and it hurt him more than it hurt me.
Oh,
and I saw that. I knew that. But it was rare. My brother, however, probably every day. But now, you know, I live in New York.
He probably deserved it, too.
He did. Now I'm in New York, and that's just not the way that we punish our children. It's more timeouts. I'm grateful that I have a really pretty fairly easy child to raise. So, I mean, I can just kind of raise my voice a little bit. She calls it the dark voice. And then I feel like Darth Vader. But and then she starts crying. But I love her so much. And we just have fun. We have dance parties in the kitchen. So she picked out the illustrator for this book. We put all the pictures on the floor of the illustrators that the publisher sent me that were available at the time. And so I said, Hayden, which one do you like? And thankfully, she picked the one I was really drawn to.
Awesome.
So this is our illustrator, Kim Barnes. And Hayden loves this one picture in the book. Hayden, we talked to the illustrator about the dance parties and how important they were for us to show the dance parties in the kitchen, because that's where we have ours. And kind of they trail off into the living room. But this, the illustrator drew a picture of a fence in the backyard, in their backyard. And she lets her children paint, use real paint
on
the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, it covers the whole backyard. Like, my dad would have
lost his mind.
Definitely would have gotten the belt for that one, right? But so my daughter said, I really want to do that. And I'm like, well, we rent a house out in Long Island from one of my friends, and she probably would kick us out if we painted her fence. So we're not doing that. But I just love the illustrator. I love the message. And at the end of the book, the children yell out, I'm so glad I was born. You're about to go through this. You just got engaged.
No, I know. I need to hear.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start leafing through this. I do have a. It's actually perfect because I was talking before about my 2-year-old nephew,
his name is
Ryan, and he is absolutely amazing. And I've never really spent time around
kids
a small person like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Is it?
The best thing, and this is actually true. I sent Clay the video to prove this. My mom, she's very proud. She has a little, from one of our events, you know, sometimes they do these radio events. They have a little poster with our faces on it, you know, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. And little Ryan walks past it and points and goes, Uncle Buck, which is obviously very exciting. And he also goes, Uncle Clay.
I'll take it. That's good.
We'll throw it in there. We're going to give him honorary
You're starting
uncle
him
status,
early. He listens to y'all every day?
Yeah. Well, he just knows from the photo and my parents, I guess, when he asks
that's
who it is.
Great.
So he's learned. He hasn't, I don't know if he's listening quite yet. We're gonna get him
smart.
To there. He's a little patriot for sure. We
he
can tell that much.
He absolutely is.
Yeah, we're excited.
So you are from South Carolina.
I am, yes. We're watching this weather.
We're watching this right now on Fox News. We've got And you have your sister, I think you said, is in Charleston. You were going to do a book signing in Charleston.
Yes, on King Street, right in downtown Charleston.
So what are you hearing from people in South Carolina as they prepare for Hurricane Ian, which is now making landfall?
No one at home can see this, but I'm getting all these text messages and all these pictures and people who left their cars in their driveways. And but everything looks okay. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know one person that left. And we were all panicking. This is our immediate family family text chain. And my sister finally wrote us back because we were all on her. Like, get out, move your car. The garages are free right now. You can move your car into one of the, you know, third, fourth deck of the garage. She just wrote us for the first time in like 15 hours. All is well here. Car is fine, just without power. So my dad writes back, good, answer prayers. Next time, leave, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. She's a school teacher there. And so she's with all of her friends. And, we interviewed Rick Scott this morning. He's not leaving. I mean, he's the senator. He can't leave because he wants to take care of his people. He said his mom was staying. He bought his mom a house when he became a senator and had enough money, which is a sweet story. So he said he and his mom were staying. He was going to go pick her up. My sister's staying. My sister's actually in Mount Pleasant. So downtown Charleston's that peninsula. Go over the Cooper River Bridge.
Yep.
And then you run into Mount Pleasant, and she's right there. But she's two stories up. She lives in an apartment building.
But for people who haven't been to Charleston, they've seen certainly that there's a very low sea level in many parts of Florida. Charleston is almost underwater, right?
Yeah,
I mean, below sea level.
I just looked it up before we got here, and I don't know if this is correct, but because this is just a Google search, but it said 8 feet above sea level. The surge is supposed to be like between 7 and 9.
Yeah.
So it could go above. My sister, when she lived downtown, she was driving through the streets just to try to get to her house, and her car was completely flooded. She lost the car. It was my mom's old car. This was right after college. She just left her car there in the middle of the road and had to walk out of the car. So even with a minor storm, it floods. So hopefully people got out of Charleston at least and went inland to Mount Pleasant.
I mean, with Florida, we know that they're always thinking about and ready for hurricane season. Mm-hmm. When was the last time
Hugo?
That this part
would it have been
the,
Hugo that really whipped
we've
us?
We've had some others, but Hugo was the big one. And what we learned about Hugo, as devastating as it was, have y'all ever been to Isle of Palms or Wild Dunes or Sullivan's Island?
Yes.
Right outside of Charleston. What we learned, it wiped out those beaches. And those were like, it was so fun. It was old school beach houses, like where you would go and there's like grit and sand on the floor and just old furniture. Those were all demolished, and they built these monstrosities on that property, and many people made a lot of money because they sold their houses and made these, you know, built these huge properties, and they built them higher, so they're on stilts, so you park your car underneath the house. And then on the first floor are the bedrooms and the top floor kitchen, den, and all that, so you can overlook the ocean. So now it's beautiful. Those, you know, $50,000 houses are now multi-million dollar houses.
That's happened all over the South in many different beach communities where they initially built like
you
old school. Yeah, like
in
down
South.
In Florida, like along the Florida Gulf Coast, used to be the Redneck Riviera. Those things didn't cost anything. And now they're all gone. It's, you know, multi-millionaire
30A?
Mansions.
Is that 30A?
Yeah, 30A. Yeah. Buck's got to come down there. He hasn't been. You know, Buck had never been really to the South at all. In like Alabama. I'm talking about like Alabama.
My family is from Virginia, sir. Yeah, but from like Charlottesville, not from Northern Virginia.
I'm talking about like Alabama, Mississippi. That's still kind of, I mean, Florida doesn't, it depends on what part of Florida you're in.
Spend some time in these places, but only on military bases.
Yeah.
But
that means y'all are a good team. You represent.
Well I've got him down now for college football.
But
he's finding out.
When you're on a Southern military base, you definitely know you're in the South.
But can I brag on Buck a little bit? Buck went to high school at, and y'all don't know this in the South, the hardest school to get into in the city. And it's all scholarship, and you cannot get in unless you are top of your class. I know people out on Long Island that commute in, high schoolers that drive that ride the train for an hour to get into the city just so they can go to Regis.
That's very great.
Yeah,
thank you. See, Ainsley knows I'm getting the rough stuff from Clay over here, so she throws me a little
help. I will
help,
say,
which I appreciate.
Ainsley, you know who also went there?
Who?
Dr. Fauci.
No,
yes, he did. Class of 1910, Fauci. He rolled.
He
through
really
Regis
did. He
high
and Buck
school.
Went to the same high school.
Oh,
that's right.
Great. That's
He's
great.
100 years ago. So yeah, Fauci was there. Ainsley, the book looks awesome.
Thank
I'm
you.
So glad you were born.
Thank
celebrating
you.
Why. I'm sorry, celebrating who you are. Yeah. I'm so glad you were born. Go get a copy today, folks.
Can I just say one thing? My mom had a stroke 4.5 years ago, and she doesn't have a voice anymore. So I don't know how many days we have left with her. She's kind of slowing down. And she lives in our basement with 24-hour care. And this is something she said to us. She was a school teacher for 4s and 5-year-olds for 33 years, retired reluctantly. My aunt talked her into it because she had diabetes. And she said, I don't know how long you have. And mom retired. She traveled with my dad for about 10 years, had the stroke, dialysis, kidney failure, and now her voice is going to be heard and carried on for generations.
Oh, that's so,
Mom,
awesome.
I love you. I'm sorry I gave you a hard time.
That's amazing. And thank you for the copy. I'm going to take
You're
it from
welcome.
My little nephew.
You're welcome. If y'all want to buy a signed book, it's ainsleybook.com. And then if you want to go to my website and see where we'll be, we had to cancel the thing tonight at Charleston. I'm so sorry. But we'll be in Florida on Sunday. It's Ainsley E. No one knows how to spell Earhart. ainsleye.com. So Ainsley Book and Ainsley E.
Awesome.
Thanks, y'all, for having me on. I'm so Thank proud
you.
Of y'all.
Thank you so much.
I know Rush would be so proud of y'all.
We're trying.
Just love y'all.
We're trying. Thank
You're
you so
doing
much.
Great.
We appreciate
Thanks
it.
For
you
coming on Fox and Friends, too. When are y'all coming on again?
I'll be on Wednesday, I think.
Okay.
Well, I'll be on tomorrow morning
with
the
weekend.
He's
better about getting up in the mornings. I'm really bad about it. Yeah, I got to work on that one.
You'll be there in about 5 years.
Yeah, when
start
the kids start
the
getting you up early. Yeah.
I'm used to like getting my single man sleep, you know? It's going to be very different with the wife and the kids now, but not kids.
Kids for
kids
sure.
Coming in the future.
Congratulations on your engagement.
Thank
You're
you.
Going to love being married and having babies.
I'm very excited about it. Very excited. All right, we're going to come back here in just a second. Close that out, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and co-host Leah Rose for in-depth creative conversations with the artists you love. Over the past 5 years, we've interviewed some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Pharrell, Damon Albarn, Andre 3000, and Usher. And you'll hear from rock icons like Pete Townsend, who shares wild stories about his formative years with The Who, and Johnny Marr, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of The Smiths, who has an unwavering devotion to his craft. Or the stories behind the legendary hits Babyface wrote for Whitney Houston and Madonna, plus how he collaborates with the new generation of R&B stars like Kehlani and Doechii. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Going to be closing up shop here in a moment. There's an organization, though, that I want you to know about, and they're on a mission. They don't toot their own horn. They let their accomplishments speak for themselves. It's critical what they're doing. But more of us should be speaking of them every day because of what they do. It's nothing short of life-changing, life-saving. Preborn is their name. Preborn Pregnancy Clinics. Their mission is to save babies' lives from abortion, and they need our help now more than ever. They're preparing for the influx of abortions in sanctuary states and clinics, and they're keeping, rather, their clinics open in some of these states, despite the fact that there was the Dobbs decision recently. Preborn pregnancy clinics offer free ultrasounds and plenty of support and care, because when a mother is considering abortion, but she meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and most of the time, she will choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds and thousands of babies' lives, and our goal is to join them in rescuing 40,000 babies this year. Will you help? I know many of you are pro-life, but what are you doing in that mission? A donation of any amount will help in a big way right now. You can just do it from your cell phone. Dial #250 on your phone and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. $140 will provide 5 ultrasounds, but any gift will help. $10, $100, $1,000, whatever you can donate, please consider doing it today. Call now on your cell phone, dial #250 and saying the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. Let's save babies' lives together. Clay, I'm actually, I got a
you got a kid's book to read here.
I got a kid's book to give to my little nephew. It's like I get to be a little hero when I walk in the door and he yells Uncle Buck. It's the coolest thing. Honestly, you know, it's like one of the things when you spend time around a little bundle of joy like that, you're like, you know, I think it's time for me to have my own. So
yeah, you're gonna have some fun with that. Let me give people some good news. I feel like there's been a lot of bad news this week, right?
It's been a rough week
for a lot
of
people.
News cycle. Yes. It's been very tough for sure.
So here's some good news. We mentioned that we would give you some polling numbers, as when we come back and talk to you on Monday, we will be 5 weeks and a day from the midterm elections. And I know in some of the states out there, people are already able to vote because early voting is starting, I think, in 8 states already. People are casting their ballots. Dr. Oz has cut Fetterman's lead, according to a poll released today, down to 2 points. Our friend, Ron Johnson, who has been on this show a lot, senator from Wisconsin, is up in virtually every poll right now in Wisconsin. Up 5 points in the latest Fox News poll, up 5 points in the latest Fabrizio Anzalone poll. That doesn't mean that I don't want people out there to go vote. Obviously, you guys need to follow through. But the numbers are all breaking, by and large, Buck, as you look through and as you analyze the gambling odds and everything else, in a really good way, by and large, for Republican Senate candidates. And also, governors, Oregon, I'm telling you, Christine Drazen, I think, is going to win first Republican governor in Oregon, potentially, since the 1980s. We talked about Colorado Senate race there, as well as a governor's race. Tiffany Smiley, there's a great editorial in the Wall Street Journal, Buck, this morning, today, that lays out how aggressively Patty Murray's people are coming after Tiffany Smiley because they're getting increasingly nervous that she may flip a seat in Washington. There are a lot of different places on the board that are potentially going to be in play, and they're all breaking a little bit over 5 weeks from the midterm in the direction of the good guys.
I am still holding out hope that this is going to be an election that is restorative in many ways, restorative of sanity, of a sense of justice, of a sense of rationality, and some of these elections going to the Republicans would certainly move things in that direction. Look, even if it turns out to be a great election for Republicans, then the work begins of governing, fixing, turning things around in a lot of these places. So it's all about phases, man. Hopefully we can get into a phase here where things are moving the right way instead of what we've seen for quite some time here under the Biden administration. But I like on the good news front, because we could all use some good news. One is I got a great book. Thanks for Mainsley. And two, I think we're going to win this election.
I do too. Red wave coming. Have great weekends.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.